And reading this morning from the book of Deuteronomy, words to the Israelite people about living in community. When you make your neighbor a loan of any kind, you shall not go into the house to take the pledge. You shall wait outside while the person to whom you are making the loan brings the pledge out to you. If the person is poor, you shall not sleep in the garment given to you as pledge. You shall give the pledge back by sunset so that your neighbor may sleep in the cloak and bless you, and it will be to your credit before the Lord your God. You shall not withhold the wages of poor and needy laborers, whether other Israelites or aliens who reside in your land in one of your towns. You shall pay them their wages daily before sunset, because they are poor and their livelihood depends on them. Otherwise, they might cry to the Lord against you and you would incur guilt. Parents shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their parents. Only for their own crimes may persons be put to death. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you remind us that all that we have is a gift from you to be shared with others, and yet we hold tightly to what we have. Open our hands and our hearts, O God, that we might give generously. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When my dad became a minister in midlife, he was settled in a tiny community on the Fundy coast. And he was, as all new ministers are, eager to do a good job. And so when preparations were underway for the first Thanksgiving service, and he was told people brought in fresh produce to decorate the chancel, he encouraged people to give with enthusiasm so that the chancel would be overflowing with produce. And people responded. I wish I had a picture of that first Thanksgiving. It was absolutely magnificent. There was every type of produce and home-baked goods imaginable overflowing on that communion table. My father was so pleased that his pleas had been taken seriously. And when the service drew to a close, he was told that the tradition in that congregation was to send everything home with the minister and his family. He was suitably embarrassed. But we quickly learned that was the way things worked in that small village. That church was aid receiving, and so his salary would never be above minimum, but we certainly never starved. Everything from 50-pound bags of potatoes and carrots to moose meat came our way. And we learn to simply be thankful for the graciousness of the people in sharing the abundance of their harvest. I was just really glad as a child that moose hunting season was short. Our reading from the book of Deuteronomy today is part of a long series of instructions for the people of Israel as they look forward to moving into their promised land after years of wandering in the wilderness. And while we, as Christians, are perhaps not tied to the laws of Moses in the same way, there is much here that would be good for us living in our own promised land to consider. I use this reading, or a small portion of it at least, at our changing of the seasons worship service in the garden a couple of weeks ago, and it sparked many conversations about memories from days gone by and norms that have perhaps become obsolete because we are so far removed from being an agricultural society. So what might it mean then, I wonder, for us in our urban society to live with a similar concern for the needs of others? Well, our passage from Deuteronomy this morning gives us the first clue, I think. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. We've become a people very proud of what we have done for ourselves. How often do we tell ourselves, if not others, that we've worked hard to get to where we are in life? And absolutely, we should be proud of our achievements. When you work hard, you deserve to take pride in how far you've come. But the key to the change of attitude that God desires of us is in the remembering, the collective remembering. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt. That remembering is such an important part of the Jewish faith that it is central to many of their holiday gatherings. The story of their captivity in Egypt must be remembered and must be told to their children, for it cultivates in them a thankful heart for their freedom and for their delivery from captivity. And so what would it mean, I wonder, if we were to take seriously the importance of remembering our own delivery? Our delivery from guilt and remorse over our failings to the freedom and new life we have through Christ. What would it mean if we were to remember that just a few generations ago or less, for some of us, we also were strangers in a foreign land, dependent upon land grants and generosity for our own survival? What would it mean if we were to take seriously God's call to leave the crops on the edges of our fields for those who need them, to hang the extra apples on the fence, to open our hands and our hearts with more generosity, rather than holding everything close to us with pride of ownership? I mentioned at the last board meeting that I grew up in a family where 10% of what came into the home was given back before any of our needs were met. It's a tradition that we, as a young family, were committed to in our early years together. But somehow, raising four sons and getting caught up in our own needs and wants and their needs and wants changed that pattern, and yet it remains in my heart and soul. Because what I was taught growing up is that giving to others, giving to the church, has nothing really to do with the church or others asking for or needing something from you. But giving has everything to do with being disciples of Jesus Christ and needing, wanting to give out of a deep sense of gratitude for the richness of our own lives. I like to dream of what the world would look like if we who enjoy an abundant harvest, not just of crops, but of everything one could wish for in life. What the world would look like if we gave a good portion of all of that so that the needs of others would be met. I like to dream of what this church could do, not just for its own people, for those of us who enjoy the peace and tranquility of this beautiful sanctuary, but for a multitude of people beyond this church's doors, both here in our community, in our country, and throughout the world. I like to dream because God has taught us that to be faithful disciples is to follow with hope and to follow with courage and to dream dreams and to see visions of a beautiful future of justice, peace, and equality for all God's people. We have so much to give. Our money, our possessions, our time, our energy, our gracious forgiveness, and our love. May this church continue to reflect a spirit of gratitude that shows forth in abundant generosity. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. And so in return, we stretch out loving hands and hearts so that others too might enjoy all of the good gifts life has to offer. Thanks be to God.